and welcome.
Welcome.
Let's do that. We'll start. Who knows something about our community already? Of you? Oh, well, you're not in the questions. Oh, just short people. So that means that we're going to start from the beginning, give or take. It's all right. We're enjoying it. It's always a little... Let's do that. We pray first, okay? Yes, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Hail Mary.
Full of grace, the Lord is with thee.
Mary, Queen of Peace,
pray for us.
It's nice to get together and pray, especially for us, because for us always the meeting with the people is kind of difficult, I'm telling you. It's one of the most beautiful things to do, especially in the occasion like the anniversary of the apparition. So, and I know for you all too, it's very, very nice to be in this place. Well, not in this place, just the community being miserable in this time. And it's time for great grace for everybody. And meet the people for us is the responsibility. And the community, more or less, I think you know where you are. You're in the house, just to give you a little picture of that. You're in the house full of drug addicts, usually. So, but no, it's safe. Don't worry. No, and... for us, for the people of the community, for us boys coming here and explain about our life, explain about the work of the community, most of the time is not very easy. And I'm telling you, it's almost 10 years I'm in this house. And I don't know how many times I gave my testimony to the people that come to visit the community. I don't remember how many times I represent the community in front of the people that comes here. But always, when they call you for come, I promise you, my heart is like, you know, it's really hard for us. It's hard because we don't come for catechesis or teaching or whatever it is. First of all, we want to come to make more friends and to open up our heart and our past, our mistakes, to you all, to show how God is great, what He's doing for us in this place, and really for give you maybe, I hope that always, they give an idea about the youth problem and the street problem and the world problem, that's what it is, a different idea that all the others usually give, the people, the media and stuff, really just talk about, not really about drugs. You're not going to hear about so much about drugs in this place. You're going to hear about what is the life. We don't like to call this place a therapy place for drugs. This is a school of life. We are here for learn how to live. That's what we want to do. We're here for making new friends. I'm sure we're going to make friendship with you. We do that usually. Daniel maybe will explain a little about our daily life, about what we do, about the work of the community, about our lives together. We'll do that. And in the end, if you have questions, something that you want to ask, whatever it is, the curiosity, whatever you want to know, we're ready to answer you. Thank you very much. Thank you.
I wish you also welcome to our community, Cenacolo. And I want to say in the beginning that this community, it's a one hope. It's a one hope for all those persons who lost their hope. For all those persons who are lost a will to live. For all those persons who are sad, who feel lonely, desperate and in the darkness. Like Vicenza said, this house is full of drug addicts. but this is not any rehabilitation center, because here we don't have any doctors, we don't use any pills, we don't have any therapies. Usually we say that it's a one school of life. It's a one school of life for persons who didn't know how to live. For persons who aren't able to live a reality of life, to face the reality, the problems, the sufferings, the difficulties in the life. All of us, beginning from me, we will know just how to escape from that reality. To escape through drugs, through material things. But the main problem was our selfishness, because we were just taught about ourselves, how to be good to us. In community, we live a one simple way of life. It's a simple way of life because here there is no television, there is no cigarettes, we don't read newspapers, we don't drink, there is no drugs, we don't listen to music, and it's a simple way of life. In the center of that simple life is Jesus, prayer. And community for me showed me that life was just all of those things that I mentioned now. The cigarettes, the material things. For me, that was life. And when I came in this community, I was thinking to myself, this is like prison. Better that I came in prison than here. But actually, that prison, it's a freedom. Because community showed us, is showing us that we are not slaves, that we are not slaves of drugs, of material things, of music, of cigarettes. It shows us that we are free. That we are free to choose a God's way. That we are free to follow Him. And in that, just without all those things, we can walk in this way, because community is a one walk to a Jesus. And with all those things, we can open our hearts to Him. He's the one who changing lives. He's the one who converts us. All boys in community, all girls, all members, which we have now 1,600 in all over the world. A community is found by one small nun called Elvira. And for me, she's a second mother. Because without her sacrifice for all of us, not even one of us will be alive today. And she's a small Italian nun, like this, but she got a big heart. Because she's the one who had that wish to help a desperate young people on the street. She's the one who made come true that wish. And thanks to her, today we are alive. Not just that we are alive, we have a new life, a life in Christ. She's a woman of big faith. Woman of big faith because our community lives by providence. The whole house that we have all over the world today are given as a donation to Sister Elvira. All things that we need, clothes, food, we don't buy. We pray. And it was, for me, to tell you the truth, it was very hard to get it. Because I was the one boy who believed just in material things, the things that I can see, the things that I can touch, the things that world offering me. It was hard for me to believe that we pray for food. And I knew it, that the clothes doesn't fall down from the sky, the food doesn't grow up on the trees, you know. But I was asking myself, where are coming that food, from where are come that food, that clothes? And through the friends of our community, through the parents, families, through the pilgrims like you are, who are coming into our house. And here, in community, first time I saw the fruits of that prayer, the fruits that we wear, the fruits that we eat. I can see every day are miracles of God, which He making 2,000 years after His death and resurrection. A miracle that we can see in each one of us every day. We pray, like I said, in the center of this simple life, it's prayer. Most of us didn't pray outside. Me first, I was far away from God. And every time when I fall down, I was remaining on ground. I was not able to stand up. Today, it's not that people coming here like desperate, like drug addicts, alcohol addicts, with all those problems, and they going out like saints. We don't learn how to become a saint or how to become a priest. We learn how to wish well to each other. We learn how to be able to follow Jesus. We learn how to, when we fall down, to stand up on our feet. The community showed us that we are able to choose and do good things to ourselves and to all those persons who live with us. I tried, we were now just the dark side of life. I didn't see a bright side. I couldn't see the light. Community showed me the light. And I had my problems. We had our problems even today. Even today, sometimes we are sad. We feel lonely. We are weak. We fall down in our weaknesses. But that's the way. Those are we. Those, I am the one who get wrong, who fall down. We are not perfect. We learn how to accept ourselves. We learn to be free. Not to be free in a sense to do the things what I like. To be free to express our feelings. Those things that we live inside us. To show the others our weaknesses. The good things. Our wrongs when we get wrong. Because that's us. In all our life, we are escaping from the truth. And tell you the truth, when I entered the community, I usually say that I didn't enter in community. I escaped another time in my life from reality, from problems. But I'm escaped in a one place where I got it to face with that reality. And the new thing which entered in my life was prayer. And prayer helped us to stay into a right way. And it looks nice to talk about prayer too, but for us it's hard to live it. It's one fight every day. Every day from the moment we open our eyes, it's one fight between good and evil inside us. It's one fight to choose to follow Jesus today. And I will know that fight will be even tomorrow. And even today I'm weak. I get wrong. but that's me. And I know that before I couldn't accept myself. I wanted to be somebody else. And to the and I realized I was escaping from myself. Even here when I came, I wanted to escape from myself. My community showed me that I can't run away. That tomorrow when I wake up, when I look in the mirror, that's me. And like I said, community, it's a school of life. And learn how to live. How to fight. First time in my life, to stay into a right way. The community showed us that today we are able to, with our hands, who first make evil, are able to do good today. Thank you very much.
Well, since sometimes seems even hard for me that I'm here quite a bit to believe that the community lived in this way. Always when I heard that other people talking about the life of the community, since it's really a miracle, I have to say to myself, it's a miracle. We're living all together in this way, in this simple way. And always touch me, as Dan has said now, as he, in all his speech, he never said one time the word drug. Never. Maybe once for explaining about something. But he didn't say one time the word drug. And it's just a miracle. In a place where 100 and something boys living, that we all come from, more or less, all come from the same path, from the same way to live. We did from drugs, we put out, drugs was just our God. We did everything illegal in this world for the drugs. And it's hard, as he was saying, to fight every day, to keep a right, to choose for the right thing. And we're not the saints, I'm telling you, we're not. And then even with the program of the community, even with our, if you listen about our program, well, it's hard, especially in the beginning. I remember when first they told me how they live here, I said, you guys, you're crazy. I'm never going to come in this place. But I had no other choice. I was in the end. I was in prison. And most of us comes from the same place. Drugs is like this. It's not drinking coke. It's something a little more dangerous. And it's easy to get involved in something like this. I got in prison. I started using, just a little bit of my story. I started using drugs that I was 13. And I come from a Catholic family, normal, and we're rich. We're like all the other family, I know it. And I had everything I want in my life, and I was a good student, and whatever. We're such a nice family, but drugs doesn't look at where you come from. And it's like this, I just started using it because all my friends were doing it. Oh, it's nothing bad in that. Oh, I can stop when I want. I always thought that I can be stronger than that. But it's really not. It's really not. And I'm telling you, drug is not really the worst thing. It's just the consequence of many different steps that seems with no sense that I did before. Stop the same, some kind of life, stopping, try to always rebel to my family, and I can do this, and my arrogance, and my, oh, I have my money, and I can do whatever I want, I can buy whatever, even if I buy drugs, that comes from my money, I don't have to ask to anybody what it is. Just thinking I'm the right one. I don't need anybody. I don't need to listen to anybody. I know how to get my life straight. I know, and I just thinking about I want just one more and more pleasure and more thinking that I was always kind of reaching for happiness. But in all these stupid things, without thinking about the consequence. And when the drugs came, I said, okay, it's all right. It's like all the other thing. I already tried everything. Let's try this too. But it's really bad. It's really bad. Well, I was saying I'm smoking marijuana. That's not drugs. That's nothing. Everybody do it. And it's just fine. It just make me laugh and just make me more free to talk with the girls and just make me more cool. That's like such a big lies. The first big drugs is the devil. The devil takes from the nose all kind of generation of youth for years and years and just taking you down and down and down and down. When I came to the point that I was spending $200-$300 every day for my addiction, that was evil. I didn't have so much money to spend that I started to selling drugs and stealing and always be involved in such a bad things. And I'm not telling this just for scaring you. You know how the drug addict lives, I think. It's nothing news. And I got involved in a gang fight in the street. And one of my friends, one of my girlfriends, 21 years old, got killed. And everybody got arrested. So I went to jail. And in jail, a judge tried to help me changing my sentence, tried to put me in a rehabilitation center, and I didn't know was this place. And she said, okay, you go there, it's a nice place for you, I think you're going to get better, you don't have nothing to lose, why are you going to stay in jail? We can try to put you there. And when I came, as he was saying, oh man, was like, what am I doing here? What, you know, it's hard. You come here, the first day was telling, I remember very well my first morning in a community. And one of the first person I met was Sister Elvira. Please don't tell anybody that we said that she's a small nun. She's gonna get so mad about it. But she is. But well, let's say that she's not small. She's, yeah. But she has such a big heart and such a strong personality and faith. Living with 100 and with 1600 people like us, you're gonna be a little like them, or you're gonna give up if you're not like this. And she's really strong. First time she saw me at the gate of the mother house, she said, what are you doing here? What do you want? I said, well, I came just for visiting. I don't know really what to do. I don't think this is a good place for me. It was really strange. First time I came, all the boys, they were laughing, working. Everybody was saying hello to me like we were big friends. I didn't knew anybody of them. I said, these people, they're not going to be, there's something wrong in this. Let me get out soon of this place. So she said, what do you want to do? Yeah, tell me. I said, well, I don't know if this is the right place for me. I got to go home and looking for another place for them. She got so mad. I'd never heard a nun say that, such a bad word. She started screaming and she pushed me and she said, where you want to go? You're not going to go. You're not going to go looking for another place. You're going to go looking for drugs. That's what you're going to do. First thing she do out of here, you're going to go looking for take drugs again. Don't say, tell me if it's not true. That was the truth. That what I was going to do if I was going out of there. But, you know, listen, someone that get in my face like this, I said, well, please, sister, calm down. I don't want to hurt anybody. I just want to, I don't think this is my place. And she said, look, she took the keys of the car of the man that was with me, said, I'm going to get your keys, and you're going to stay, and you're going to try. Then you try, then you come to me, and then we decide together where you're going to go. I said, oh my God, that's why I came here this morning. Whatever. She called another boy to let me stay with him, to introduce me in the life of the community. And then that's what we do. That usually we do that. Every new boy that come in, we call the guardian angel. There's another boy of the community that take care of him, introduce him in the life, just to get in him step by step in the life of the community for a month, two, three, depends on you. It depends on how you get better. So he called his boys and he started to explain me the community life. And he was saying, okay, we don't drink any alcohol, there's no television, you can't go out at night, there's no girls, and please give you're not going to come to your family maybe for 5-6 months. I said, whoa, what's that? And in the end he was saying, and then we pray, and I said, what are you praying for? I'm not gonna become a priest. I'm here to stop my addiction. Why am I gonna pray? So yeah, but it's okay, don't worry. Well, and when they say we pray, I was thinking, well, maybe they pray 10 minutes in the morning and that's it. If they do it, I can't do it. It's all right, it's not gonna be so bad. Well, 6 in the morning, that's the life of the community. 6 o'clock in the morning, they were all up, screaming, singing, we're going to go. But after 10 minutes, everybody was changing, ready to go to chapel. The first mystery of the rosary on their knees. When I entered the chapel, I saw all these boys with the rosary in their hands. I said, This they're really crazy. This place is not. They're not drug addicts. There's something wrong. It's not. That's not for me. But you're gonna stay. You're gonna get on your knees. Start to pray. 50 Hail Mary would never go again. Man, I think that the last Hail Mary I said was I was 80 years old. And said, what am I doing here? And this is not. It's not just that. We pray another rosary after lunch, all together, the sorrowful mister. And then at night again, it's 150 Hail Mary every day. So you pray? Are you joking about it? And this, I'm not going to pray. And every time I had the chance to stop the sister in the morning, I was just saying, look, sister, this is not for me. I don't believe in God. I don't want to stay here. I don't care a dime about it. Just let me do something different. I want to go work. I don't care about the prayer. Why am I going to pray? She was just quiet and say, oh, I don't care if you don't believe. I'm not asking you to believe in God. I'm asking you to pray. You're going to go and pray. That's it. and it's really, well, after so many years here, I'm really grateful that we met this such a beautiful person that believed so much in that power of the prayers. It's really, I wanted to understand, I wanted to believe, I wanted to understand why we were going in front of the Eucharist and praying 50 Hail Mary. My knees were hurt like crazy. And I wanted to understand all that and then why we were doing it. But really, in the beginning, we don't need to believe in God. God believes in you. God believes in you, that you are in front of Him, asking maybe in 50 Hail Mary, say one, asking for help. Say one, asking for forgiveness for all the wrong I did. And she knows. She knows how strong and how faithful is God. And when you ask Him something, He's going to give it to you. And it takes a while, and in the beginning it's normal, we're not coming from a seminary. When really I was a little heavy and saying to my guardian angels, look, I'm really not going to pray. I'm not going to pray today, I don't come. I'm sorry, do whatever you want. I'm not going to go, I go to work. So you would say, okay, we go work. When I came here, now you see all these buildings and we did, there's nobody outside the community. All the boys of the community built were everything you said. Wow. But when I came here first, it was just a pile of rocks like this everywhere. So go to work, what means that you go with him, moving pile of rocks every day from 6 in the morning at lunch. After lunch, they were all going out behind Maria's house, praying the other rosary, and we were going to work. At 6 at night, everybody was changing and washing ourselves and going in the chapel again, and then we were still working until dinner time. After 2 days, I said, I'm gonna come and pray too. Do more. I'm gonna pray with you guys, don't worry. And it's hard. It is not because you believe. I promise you. I just did it because I was so sick about moving rocks and nothing else. I promise. And it's hard. It's hard, but we need that. We need that small, little yes. The light comes. When you're in prayer, the prayer is a light. It's light. It's light for everybody, not only for addict people. It's light for everybody. And maybe small, like in the beginning. But when you're completely in the dark, when the power goes off in your house, what do you do, guys? A candle. And it's enough. It's enough to see. It's enough to see where you are going. It's enough to see what you're going to do next. And sometimes it's just hard to believe that's going to happen, but it happened. And it happened. You get better. You start to realize, to accept yourself, as he was saying. You start to realize that God provides for you. Provides, really, concrete. I was one of the worst in the beginning. I was just only asking just to provoke everybody. And it's hard because you have always this police guardian angel close to you all day. Everywhere you go, he's going to follow you. I was going in the bathroom and he was going outside the door. After 5 minutes, he was knocking. Oh, what are you doing there? Oh, please, come on. And I'm with all my heart, I hate him. And for 2 months, I couldn't even look at him. It was so hard. He was coming in the morning and singing and loud. And so what are you laughing about this life? We're going to go pray and then we're going to go move rocks like every day. Are you crazy that you're laughing? So now I'm so happy to do it. You're not normal if you're happy to do this life. And then just for provoking, just to see if he was reacting. He was never reacting. He was just taking it easy. And many times he was the first comes back and say, oh, so I'm sorry if I'm like this, you know, I'm it's true, sometimes I'm a little crazy, how are you doing? He was asking me, how are you doing, maybe 2,000 times in a day. I was just sick to hear someone ask me. In the end, I'm fine, I'm okay, don't ask me anymore. But he was just trying to reach there, to let me tell him, I'm fine. I'm going to do it. I'm going to try. Okay, I'm going to do it again tomorrow. When I was saying, okay, I want to go away, it's too much for me. This is really too much. Today, I want to go away. They said, okay, you can go away. Let's do that. We work until night, and then I'm going to help you pack your bags. Don't worry, you can go. And he was just make me work like a donkey. I would come in at night and say, let me go to bed, please. I go away tomorrow. And he was reaching what in this way we'd never. And it's so amazing. In the beginning, you don't realize how much they love you. I didn't realize until it was my time to do the guardian angel for someone that was maybe worse than me. Didn't want to go to pray. He was complaining because I was loud in the morning. We always late everywhere. He didn't want to work. I have to work for him, moving his pile of rock. And I really start to understand how much they love me. I really start to understand many times how much I was, how heavy I was for them sometimes. And they never lost their cool. They never, you know, they just try to get along and try to say, okay, it's all right, I love you the same. Well, I love you the same, please come, you know, go away, what do you want? And I don't know, and I was trying just to provoke them, to see the reaction, to see who, thinking about living, about providence, I was like, what that mean? Who's taking, like he was saying, who's bringing here the pasta? Who's this God that provides for? Who is? Show me who is. And then I'm going to believe. But you have to. How many months we went here just with cabbage? Because the country was in the war and was really a hard situation. And we had just like that. So we were scavenging for breakfast, for lunch, for dinner, every day. And I much appreciate that really God take care of you. I remember the guys that were praying for the milk for the breakfast in the morning, and I was thinking inside that these people, they're really crazy. How are you gonna pray Our Lady for the milk? What kind of intention is this? But the next morning, a little lady from you came with 3 bottle of milk. That were first things was, let's pray every day so that we're not gonna miss it anymore. Yeah, and it's this, we're like this, but the life of the community, Sister Avila just lead the community in this way, not because we are against supporting, we are against the family, our family doesn't pay an obligation for us, it's just a donation. We live like this because we need to see that God is taking care, that God is going to provide. And living in Providence is teaching us that it's not what you have or what you miss that makes you happy. If you're sad in the morning, there's something more deep than the milk in the fridge, on everything you want for lunch. If you said there's something that you're going to go down and see what it is, it's not what you have. It's not what you miss that make you happy or make you sad. There's something more. And God see that. If you really trust, it's going to come. When we go a long time without something, Sister Avila says always, it's because we're not praying enough. It's because we're not praying enough. It's because we're not screaming to God. Or maybe we miss that because we don't really need it. We don't need that. We need something more. We need to look in ourselves. Drugs is not, there's no pills in the world that can make look you in the deep, in who you are, in your reaction. There's no therapy that they can show you. There's no methadone. There's no therapist. You're gonna go close to God and ask Him, what's wrong with me? Why I'm not happy? Can you please make me happy? Happier than that. Can you please? And it's not what you have. Happiness for us is like what he was saying. Sharing, open up, be able to come back and ask forgiveness when we fight. We fight, don't worry. We have a big family. We had a big fight. But we don't get so we're so far with that because we started. But we fight. It's the same in a stupid fight because we have no interest in it. Not that we have money or whatever. We don't have it. But it's normal. Someone wants to do it in a way, someone else in another way, and it happened. But we come back. In a kitchen, there's 2 boys cooking for 90 people. They fight every day. Every single day they fight because one would cook a meal, another one want another. And they fight. It's all right. That's what it is. But it's not that you're going to slam the door, go away and say, okay, you can't do that. I was doing that at home. I was fighting with my father. So slam the door, say goodbye, comes back 2-3 days later, never, always thinking that I was the right one. He was always thinking that he was the right one. We never became friends. We never make friendship. Here, you're going to do it. You can't slam the door. Who's going to cook for 90 people? They got to slam the door if the dinner is not ready. So you're going to come back and say, okay, I'm sorry. Sometimes I'm so proud. I get a lot. I'm, please forgive me. Let's get together. Let's do what you want, and tomorrow we can do what I want. Let's get along. And if we don't, we couldn't stay together without the prayer. I'm telling you, there's no medicine that can help you get back and say excuse. There's no pills that change your mentality. It's not that you take a pill for 6 months and you're gonna. You know how many rehabilitation center I went. Well, my mother didn't know what to do with me. She would just take me to the clinic and change my blood and everything. Yes, you know how many. And then I don't tell you how many thousands of dollars my family spent for that. I'm not telling you how much. But Every time I was getting out of the clinic, I was the same Vincenzo that was entering. Same. Nothing changed. Maybe a little more fat, maybe a little more in shape than before, but here, in the heart, I was the same. I was just getting out of the clinic in the morning and the night, go buy drugs again. There's no medicine and there's no doctor that can cure and heal your heart. There's not Jesus going there. And it's hard. It's hard. You're going to be patient. You're going to ask him and ask him and ask him again. You're going to concrete in your life showing that you believe he can do it. And for sure that you believe that Christ can do it, you're going to show them. You're going to show who lives with you. They're going to see that you believe in Jesus. They're going to see that you believe that Christ is going to heal you one day. They're going to see in your life, not in your words, in your life, that you're the first. Ask for forgiveness, that you're patient, that you are good, that you, doesn't matter how bad is the boy that you're doing the guardian angel, but you love him. And it's hard. I know how many times they don't sleep because they go in a withdrawal and at night it's so hard. And all day long I was maybe telling him, look, I gotta sleep close to your bed. So if you need me tonight, just call me. I'm going to be close to you. And how many times at night I was just, please, Lord, let us sleep all night. It's just, it's too much. We're working all day. And it's not like that. He's going to call you, and the moment it's cold, and then it's too hot, and then he wants a tea, and then he wants to go take a walk. Where are you going to go take a walk? It's 3 at night, please, can you sleep? And you're going to go through that sufferance with him. We don't give him appeals. It's not a friendship. And comes, you know how many times came in my mind, oh, why we don't give him something to sleep? Come on. He's not going to. But we don't believe in that. We believe in our relationship. We believe in our power to make friendship, to be friends in a hard time, not when everything is fine, not when we have money for spend and fun to have. No, when it's hard. When it hurts, when it's hard to believe one another, when it's hard to go through the sufferings. But it's what he needs in that moment, to see you close. He's crying and you're going to cry. He's happy and you're going to be happy. That's all the boys need. They don't need things. They need someone to talk, to share, to cry with, to get angry with many times in the beginning, special. But they need someone to show them that God is with you. And not just the God. I knew God. My mom was always talking about, I'm coming from a Christian family. I was baptized. I was everything the church wants to be. But I never saw God in our life. I never lived with him. I always thought about God. He's in heaven. He's always going to care about us. He's so far away. But here, I'm telling you, I can't say that in my life I didn't meet God. I can't say anymore. In the eyes of the people that lives with me, in the eyes of Sister Elvira, for sure. In all the boys and people here that loves me, even when I was bad, when I was wrong, when I didn't want, in the people that I have the grace to love in this year, in the talents of the others, that's God's work. That's God's work. I'm so blessed and lucky. I'm no better than anybody. You know how many friends I lost with drugs and sickness, and I'm no better. And many times I'm not worthy. I'm no better than them. I'm blessed, and I'm so lucky that I find this place that I can start again. The blessing is double and triple and more now because I'm married. I have 2 children, so God doesn't think about me only. is such a grace. Such a grace they have. You guys, friends of this place, I know. The bigger testimony is not me and Daniel today. It's you. I know how big is the need of the world for bringing back people to life. I know you're going to talk about this. I know for sure. Thank you very much for coming.